Hello. Welcome back to the show.
Yo, what's up?
This is our first mic stand show. And that, three angles.
Three angles.
One, two, three.
Mm-hmm. Boom. We're getting fancy up in here.
Yeah. We got Chris Solis on the show this time.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
How's it going? What's new?
I was going to give you one of those generic answers. You know how people are like, it's going. You know, it's going. Things are going really well.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to be back in the States, just enjoying the quiet time, you know, before getting to travel again.
Yeah, you just got back from a world tour. Well, mini world tour.
Yeah, because I was in Europe with Gene and Napalm for like 3 weeks, and they were in Japan before that. And yeah, we had a pretty crazy time.
Solid?
Yeah.
Well, like, what went down? What was crazy about it?
So Gene and I went out there to do the Vocal Total a cappella competition. And I think it was the first time a beatboxer or beatboxers were part of like the actual a cappella part.
I see.
So shout out to Ivory Nexor Parker for having us, because he was the one who was like, hey, like, you guys should audition and like send in a video for the a cappella stuff. I think it would be super dope to kind of like bridge those worlds. And so we were supposed to actually go right before the pandemic, and then pandemic happened, and they're like, we're not going to do this. And they're like, oh, damn.
Dang.
And then now we're like, you know, 2023 rolled around, and they were having it again. They're like, hey, we'd love to have you still. You know?
Yeah.
So we auditioned again, got in, did the whole thing, and the short version is we won in one of the categories. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
That's sick.
And it was sick because all the beatboxers from like, shoot, I'm going to just adjust this mic so I'm a little closer.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah. Get comfy.
And I could feel good. Mm. Man, now I sound really good.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, everyone?
Just wait for the ASMR half. That's when we can really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everyone, just gonna do one of the
massage your ears real quick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Shablambo's ASMR channel. Today we're going.
You gotta really hit those beats. Shablambo.
Shablambo. Shablambo.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so it was cool because we had like everybody from the shootout battle. I call it the beatbox battle for Vocal Total. Like they came and supported at the acapella thing, which was like super dope. So it was like the first time that the beatbox scene and like the acapella scene for that event like came together. So it was like super sick.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
So. Damn. Let's take it way back to the beginning, if you will. What was the first beatbox sound that you made?
Oh my god, the first one? Yeah. Probably.
I see.
Yeah.
And how did that turn into, you know?
It's a good. Let's see. I mean, I think when it comes to making sounds, I gotta really think about this. You asked a good question. Mm-hmm. I don't, because that's a long answer. But I think if I were to go back to, that was like fourth grade,
yeah,
or so, right? Mm-hmm. But I was just on the school bus, and it was one of those things where I would just go to one of my friends and be like, "Hey, check this out," and he's like, "Oh, watch, I can do it louder than you," and I'd be like, "Oh my god, yeah, check this out." Right, and then we go back and forth and just see how loud we can do it.
Solid.
You know, but there was no like musical element at all. It was just purely just being a kid wanting to just
make a sound. Yeah.
Yeah. And then getting into middle school, because I grew up in New York, you know, people would always like bang on the lunchroom table and like like make beats, and then people would rap and stuff over it. So me and my friends, we'd walk. My friend Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick.
Shout out Patrick.
Shout out Patrick. No, he didn't sound like that. But we're walking home. It's like seventh grade, and I'm like, my name is Patrick. I'm super cool, and look at me. I'm now in middle school.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and then we'd walk home doing all those things. But it really wasn't until oh no, am I going to reveal this? I will reveal this.
Everything comes out on the Shablambo podcast.
It does, actually. Because I would do that. And I think now that I think about it, I've always been fascinated in beatboxing. Because some of the other examples that I think of, I found this out probably like a couple weeks ago. Okay. I was born in the era of boy bands.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And I was an NSYNC kid.
Okay.
Okay.
And because their tracks, I didn't know it, but like songs like Dirty Pop, like there were like little breaks in there. They're like, they're like Dirty Pop, Dirty Pop,
all like mouth percussion, sounds.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And then like, so Justin Timberlake had like a big, Justin Timberlake and Timbaland specifically.
I see.
Yeah. So like, if you listen to like Aaliyah's, oh my god, I can't remember the name of the song, but like all those. Yeah, that's all
that takes some skill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he was doing it before everybody else.
Right. Damn. And it's so well produced that's like sometimes unless you like know what you're hearing, it's hard to tell. It's like mouth percussion.
Yeah. Mouth exactly. Sounds. So there's like been so Timberland, Justin Timberlake, it was real, always really crazy that like they started working together on music.
Yeah.
I love both of them. Just on their
like individual. Separately.
Yeah, separately. Yeah. And then they started working on the music together. I was like, wow, this is like super, super dope.
Mm-hmm,
Because like the mouth sounds were there. But it was like, you know, I was just always drawn to that because it's like, wow, you can make those sounds.
Yeah.
The actual drums with your mouth, you know, which I always thought was super cool. Definitely. But I never got into it until I started playing video games.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was that around the era that Codfish was beatboxing on like PUBG and stuff?
It was before. So it was, I remember getting the internet.
I see.
I was pre-internet.
Okay.
Like, right.
I think I was like 7 or 8 when I remember like my first dial-up modem.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
yeah.
And then like, get off my phone. Or, you know.
Of course.
Oh, hey, Kat, what's up? Of course. Up? Come on. I love you.
Little intervention.
Action. Yeah.
No big deal.
Damn it. Can't.
Hogging the spotlight.
Yeah, hogging the spotlight. Guys, shout out to my pets.
Shout out to the fam.
Shout out to Chauncey and CJ.
Mm-hmm.
Both CH names. I think it was like 13 or 14. So the beginning of the internet. You know, there wasn't streaming or even like YouTube.
Right.
There was just like, you had like Yahoo search and like
chat rooms and stuff
and forums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I played SSX Tricky, on GameCube.
Right. Right.
The first level was, what, this is Razel.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the scratches. I was like, yeah, this is crazy. So I looked up on LimeWire. Do you guys know what
LimeWire is? Yeah.
I haven't heard of LimeWire.
It was one of those, like, I never used it, but I knew what it was from like my dad talking about it.
Yeah.
And stuff.
So do you know about Kazaa?
No, I okay. don't.
Okay. So this is before streaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was the way that you could, you know, download records,
mm-hmm.
Online.
Damn.
Yeah. And you type it in. It's like a search engine,
mm-hmm.
but like you eventually destroy your computer cause there were viruses.
Right.
And
right.
You,
yeah.
you know, which I did many a time. And like, you know, my parents didn't understand what the computer did.
Yeah.
Cause mm-hmm. it was a computer. Like who mm-hmm. knew what a computer did?
Right. It was so new.
Yeah. Unless your parents were like scientists or in tech or something,
right,
you
right.
know, or, yeah, they were like, I don't know why you need this, and why is the screen blue? What does that even mean? Did you just I just bought this for you. Are you crazy? And I was like, well, I didn't mean, I just bought it, and now,
right.
Boom.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I downloaded the Razel album, Make Music 2000, because I wanted to find that SSX track.
And, right.
But I found his album instead, and then at the end, there's this track called The Four Elements. And that track changed my life because it was two DJs and two beatboxers and Kenny Muhammad and Razel. And then they did like the elements of nature, you know, and then.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So like the wind technique. Horse, heart, slice,
beat. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
And like Earth was. Ain't it funky? Like all of that was
showcasing
like,
so many styles. Yeah. Just in that one song.
Yeah. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And you couldn't, you know, you couldn't tell the difference. Like there was a break at the end. It was like,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Do you want to battle? You know, right? Like all those like break beats, that's like, whoa, that like really got me into, okay, I got to learn about this. Mm-hmm. So I searched online for how to, you know, how to beatbox. And what I found was humanbeatbox.com, which was,
I'm familiar.
Yeah. It's actually, it back then it was humanbeatbox.co.uk, and it was a forum, and it was run by a pastor by the name of Gavin Tite. And so his mission was just to make beatboxing available to anybody for free. Mm-hmm. And so he had a like a video series and taught all the like basics, like throw kick, and like click.
And they got like MRIs of like all the sounds being made too, so you can see exactly what part of your mouth and throat you need to use. And
And shout out to Kaz, you got from humanbeatbox.com. Kaz and John.
Gotta get them all.
Gotta get them all. We could take an ad. You want to take an ad break right now?
Yeah, we could take an ad
break. Let's take an
ad break.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. And welcome back to the Shablambo podcast featuring Shablambo and Matt.
Hope you enjoyed the ad break.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that we're back, we have three angles now.
Holy snap.
You can see all of us. Isn't this crazy?
Insane.
Yeah.
Matt, face reveal on Highly Intelligent.
Whoa, first time ever. It's crazy. I'm the editor, so actually it's just me pixelated through this. And I'm going to motion track that. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
you
not
should zoom in and then pixelate your face. Like,
Yep.
It'd be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Face reveal at the end, so you have to stay all the way to the end. There's 30 seconds of my unblurred face.
Subscribers only face reveal.
Yeah, subscribers only. Stay tuned for that.
So, let's get back on track.
Yeah. Where were we?
You just started beatboxing from the internet.
Humanbeatbox.com. Yeah. Well, it was humanbeatbox.co.uk.
Right.
And so the way the forums would work, it would be separated into like tutorial section, and there were videos, and there was audio as well. And like everybody from around the world were just sharing. They were uploading their like their freestyles and their videos of like them just doing their freestyle. So I remember listening to ZD, to Darnie for the first time. But his name back in the day was Vash. And that came from his MSN Messenger. That was his MSN Messenger.
Right.
Shout out to Darnie.
Shout out.
One of the greatest.
Yeah, legend.
And a fantastic friend. But yeah, Hobbit, listen to. And all the like OG UK
scene is
where.
So it was mostly like a UK based thing because it was not UK, it was a UK forum.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's where I came across Reeps and then Hobbit, A+, Yasun. They used to do this event called King of the Jam where they would get together and just like beatbox with each other and then have jam.
That's cool.
Little gym.
That's fire. Cool.
And what I really loved about what they were doing in the UK is like so community based.
Right.
And they started doing the Human Beatbox Convention and they came to New York this one year. And then I was like super hooked. It's like, oh my God, I live in New York. Damn. I need to go to one of these. So like Modest Yahoo came out and did that. Then you had people like Kid Beyond who was one of the first people who I saw use a looper with like Ableton and did the foot looping stuff.
That was probably like transformative.
Yeah, super transformative. And then so Kid Beyond and Each and Click the Super Latin, those are all like West Coast guys that I would watch. And I found this guy, Lee J. Abukayan, who was like a Filipino-American beatboxer. And I was like super hooked like watching this person because I was like, oh, that's like, I'm like that. I'm like a Filipino kid. And look at this guy. And
anytime you can get that relatability, I think it makes it so much more real.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So shout out to Lee J for that. Was that rolling again? Did it stop? no freaking way. It was rolling.
It was rolling. I did see it.
Yeah.
No way.
We got 3 minutes of wide shot.
3 minutes of wide shot.
Beautiful.
Damn, I'm so sorry, guys.
It's all right.
It's fine.
I really,
it's all good.
We'll just keep going.
Two will be plenty. Yeah.
Yeah.
So damn. When you discovered all those guys.
Yeah.
You started grinding out your beatbox skills.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go from being a random kid seeing all these beatbox videos to joining the beatbox house?
Well, okay, so there's a whole period of time there. Basically, Chesney Snow and Archangel were putting together, I think it was like the second human beatbox convention, and what they wanted to do was also turn that into the first American beatbox championships.
Oh.
They were going to happen in New York. So I was hyped because Human Beatbox, you know, was owned by Archangel at the time, and Tight, and everybody was going to come from like overseas. And then all the hip hop, you know, legends were also coming out.
That's
the beatbox
fire.
Legends were coming out.
Very central event.
Yeah. So basically, like, that's where I met Scott for the first time, Korean Effects, Litos, Hobbit, and then also, you know, Razel was there, and he was one of the judges.
That's fire.
You know, Jairobi from A Tribe Called Quest, which is super cool.
Holy shit.
The dude from EPMD. Yes, it was like hip hop. It was like a cool mix
of
everything, because it was the first one. Mm-hmm. And I was in that battle. I was in that battle for the first... I came in dead last. It was
It's crazy that you were in it, though.
It was. Yeah. At the time, I was so embarrassed because all my friends come out from college, and I had like 40 people in the crowd.
Damn.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And it was different with the championships then, because they had different categories where you had to like beatbox along to like an acapella.
Okay.
And then you had to like, you know, kind of like freestyle. I don't remember all the categories, but basically they judged the top eight on how well you did those three category things.
Oh, okay. So it was a mix of all three.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then you got to like a top four. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the year that Frisco won.
Okay.
Yeah. Heaven was in that as well.
Mm-hmm. When did battling take the scene?
2010.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was the first one.
Nice.
I see.
Yeah. So I've been in the scene since then.
I see.
Which is kind of crazy.
Well, like, when I say battling, I mean in terms of more traditional, like 90-second rounds.
Oh, okay. So shout out to B-Lo for this and the German champs. I think that was like the first when YouTube was coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the first, I think they were the first ones to put out like the battles in that kind of format.
Okay.
And because it was on YouTube and the first one, like that's where all of, you know, my generation of beatboxers would start watching.
Yeah,
stuff.
I got access,
you know,
to that.
So we're like, oh wow, that's how Europe started to really grow, you know, and create a network of stuff.
Right.
So with like my generation, we're like a hybrid again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is all gonna.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because that was the lane, and we started watching like Alem, and then obviously Litos and Hobbit, all these people. Darnay was battling. Mm-hmm. Then you saw Reeps, Joel Turner, Roxaloops, ZD, all these people just like Kim, you know, everybody just getting the battle over there. Like you wanted to be part of that scene because you know, they were the ones who were just sharing that was a scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, wow. Like, and for me, being an adolescent, you know, I've always wanted to battle since I was.
Right.
But it was because I just wanted to be around other people who are going to like do this thing that I love seriously too.
That community mindset.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. And it also is like an anime thing. It's like, I want to be the best and I want to find all the other people who are the best to get the best.
The beatbox Discord is doing really good in terms of like giving out badges and stuff to your Discord profile.
Yeah.
For what battles you've won and stuff. And just to like show everyone else you got some cred. It's pretty dope.
Yeah. Shout out to Beatbox Community and Decoy.
Yeah.
The whole team.
Yeah.
They're doing great work.
Villain.
Shout out to Tony. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, over those years, because I lived in New York, and a couple other people also live in New York, beatboxers started to come to just participate in the championships.
I see.
And then you had Beatbox Television, who started to partner to put on the championships. So Adam, Andrew Corey, shout out to Beatbox Television, was like our Paponi over here. But before Paponi was like, you know,
right.
like a CEO of Swiss.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He was just filming videos.
Mm-hmm. Right? I see.
So Adam was our Paponi, and we'd go over to his house in Bushwick, and we would film videos.
Mm-hmm.
It was like me, Verbal Ace, Kenny, Spencer.
That's fire.
Yeah, yeah.
OG group.
Yeah. Amit was there all the time. J Flo, Kayla, Mark mm-hmm. Martin. You know, yeah. all of us. Gray Matter, Johnny Buffalo. You know,
mm-hmm.
a Benihana. But I could go.
the list is endless.
Right, but like that was the crew that would just. You know, we're local and we'd hang out and mm-hmm. see each other all the time. So we started making those videos because we like beatboxing.
Right? Yeah.
And beatboxers just always needed a place to stay. So
mm-hmm.
there was Mark's house. There was Kayla's house. Or Kayla lived in an apartment in the Upper West Side. And then there was my apartment that I got when I was like 23.
Right, yep.
That people started to stay at. And then people would rotate. And then Adam's place, too. So people would rotate.
Yeah.
Like, just depending on who had a floor to sleep on.
Yeah.
That's fire.
You know? And so we did that over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then Gene started to travel from Boston.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Gene was going to Berkeley at the time.
Got it.
And so, you know, would stay over at the house. Mm-hmm. I would go over there. And, yeah, over the years, everyone just started to kind of congregate at my place.
Okay.
Not by choice. I just was also like, hey, you can come and stay here if you mm-hmm. need a place to stay. Because, you know, that's... I also grew up that kind of way. If you need something, you could come and you can hang. And if,
just like welcoming. Yeah.
If you needed it, you had it kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? So, what happened over the years, there were just a couple people who just never left.
I see.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like they would come all the time and just mm-hmm. you'd be like, oh, wow. Like these are the people who want to train and
want to
like just beatbox. And also they're fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, back like 2014 and 2015, those champs were like, I love those champs. Because
mm-hmm.
afterwards too, everyone would be at the house. It'd be mm-hmm. like 20 people sleeping on the 20 beatbox. And I'm talking about like BBK, C-Fresh.
Mm-hmm. Just like the first Bush at that Airbnb.
Oh, that's exactly mm-hmm. the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so that's why we're all so close, because we've basically just been growing up together.
Yeah. It's not just like a community. There's like a whole wider community, but like a family
as
well on that like...
100%. Yeah.
That and level.
Those are some really beautiful times.
I see. You know,
so it kind of happened organically. And at the time, I was a full-time teacher.
Okay.
I was teaching music in New York City public schools.
Got it.
You know?
How was that?
Awesome. It was also really hard.
I've heard teaching is tough.
Yeah. But it like prepared me for, I feel, everything that I needed to get into this part of my life.
Yeah.
Kids prepare you for
anything.
Yeah. They're not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I'll walk in and they're like, mister, you look ugly today. I'm like, thanks. And I put on my, and some of them are like, where are your glasses? That's disgusting. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine. I'll just put my glasses back on. Like, oh, thank God. Thank God. You look so much better now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do that. I wake up at like 6 o'clock and then everybody's sleeping. Right?
Right,
so
right.
So you have Kenny over there, Amit over here, Gene's over there, and then Neil somewhere. And then, you know, and at the time, like, Mark was also, the original house was me, Johnny Buffalo, Mark Martin, and then my ex, Izzy.
So you guys
are
the beatbox house because of the house that you all stayed at?
Correct. Yes.
I see. Okay.
That's all it is.
Okay.
Because it was... you know, my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And,
did you guys literally call it the beatbox house, or was that the name came after your life?
I think I think Kenny actually was the one who coined the name.
Okay. Okay.
Funny enough, me personally, I didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want, because I was like, there's no career in this.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
me. Well, right. You know, which is crazy to even think about now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just being very honest, I was like, this is not feasible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there isn't anyone as, like, a group who's, like, made this, like, a sustainable thing.
Right.
I was thinking very pragmatically.
Yeah.
You know, how I grew up, you know, I didn't come from a lot of money. And, like, I was making money as a teacher now. And I was like, mm-hmm. this makes sense to me. I can right. I can pay my rent.
This is stable.
This is stable. And, like, you know, I could... you know, at the time, I thought I was going to marry the person I was with.
Yeah.
And I was right. like, oh, I can just, like, move my life forward. Right?
Right,
but, like,
right.
so beatboxing, that's just a fun thing.
That yeah, hobby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because Johnny Buffalo, shout out to Johnny, mm-hmm. was the one who actually came down. I remember he came in my room and he's like, dude, we got to have rehearsals. And, like, everybody could come and we can meet up and we could put all these arrangements together. And then, like, we can go start doing gigs. And then I was like, nah. That's not gonna work, dude.
Right, right.
It's like everybody's a diva. Nobody's gonna show up on time.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know if we're gonna have the work ethic, and you know.
Right.
And so I was just like, from the beginning, I was like, hell no.
Just seeing all the holes in it.
Yeah. yeah. From the beginning, I was like, this is not gonna be a thing. But
we're kind of in the same boat. Not like the seeing yeah. all the problems with it, but us boys are trying to learn how to be a better crew. Sorry,
yeah.
it's a little echoey. There we go. That's
yeah.
a lot nicer.
Yeah.
But we're at the point where everything's so busy right now that we're trying to get together and, like, coordinate,
yeah.
like, being a crew. But it's just hard since we're all, like, spread apart trying to get...
Yeah, half of us live, like, an hour from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And that's the craziest part. And so Neil used to live 8 hours away.
Dang.
And then he would travel... Because he was in Pittsburgh. So
yeah.
he would take
right,
the bus.
Yeah.
He would come. And then, and he was, like, 17 at the time.
Oh,
he would
wow. come,
and then he would stay... Then beat 2-3 weeks straight mm-hmm. and then go back.
That's nuts.
Gene was 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kenny was like 3, like mm-hmm. Connecticut. And then Amit lived in Queens, so he just took the train.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whatever.
So it was kind of just like a perfect storm.
Yeah, and we didn't mean for it to happen. It's just one of those things where people were just around each other
mm-hmm. yeah.
all the time. And we just ended up liking that we... enjoyed each other's company.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
just fun.
Yeah.
You know,
there was so much good energy that even though it was 8 hours away, Gene was 5 hours away, you guys
yeah.
still met up and grinded it out for weeks at a time.
Yeah. And Kayla and Mark were part of that as well.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, that just, it crazy is just a crazy, chaotic time.
So how did that evolve into the modern beatbox house that we know today?
Oh God. Lots of growing as people, but I think, you know, when it comes to, I think with the five of us, we kind of chose each other
mm-hmm.
in terms of a group and a vibe. Cause Mark and Kayla used to be part of the group. And then,
mm-hmm.
Mark wasn't around for, cause he went on tour. He was on tour with Vocal People and he was doing
okay.
like really great work.
Mm-hmm.
out there, but he wasn't home.
Right.
So we got to develop a lot of bonds while, you know,
he was on tour.
Yeah. While he was on tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Kayla was also a part of that bonding process. And
mm-hmm.
then Kayla at some point was like, I'm going to take a different route.
Right.
And she's a superstar now
yeah.
mm-hmm. on Broadway.
Dang.
You know, she's killing it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And they're putting together the American Champs now too.
Yeah,
that was pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've been doing it for the past 7 years, along with Jake.
Yeah.
Okay.
American Beatbox. Yeah, yeah.
My first one was 2 years ago.
No. Oh,
was,
nice.
Or well, year before last year. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, just going through your 20s and then trying to understand who you are as a person, which all of us were doing.
Yeah.
While trying to build something, was really hard.
Definitely.
And mm-hmm. and I think, but I'm grateful that it was that difficult.
Right.
I think all of us in the house have kind of seen like the worst version of each other.
Right.
If
yeah.
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That'll definitely help strengthen friendship in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we can make it through this, we can make it through anything.
Right. 100%. And it's tough because I think the quality of your life is with, comes down to how willing you are to have difficult conversations.
Right? Yeah,
so true.
And I've, you know, I've had so many of me just like wilding out, just crying, yelling at people because I didn't understand how to express my emotions or communicate effectively. Even if, though I was a teacher, it was really hard to like, just a lot of stress at the time.
Oh yeah.
Just I'm trying to pay my rent, and then everybody's like staying over all the time, and like my relationship at the time wasn't working out. And that's
a whole different thing.
Yeah, basically. But everybody had an intervention with me. It was like, this is not a good person for you. And I'm like crying, folding clothes. But yeah, it was Kenny. You know, in a lot of ways, I couldn't hear it. I mean, I did hear it at the time, but like, if it wasn't for him and the other guy stepping in just to be like, he's basically like, look, you're going to be watching us on TV and you're going to get married to this other person and you are going to be miserable. And you know that. So if you don't choose doing this thing with us, I know for a fact that you will regret it.
Wow.
You know? And so, and then, you know, then the ball was in my court and then I chose to end that thing. And you know, Kayla was there for that too. You know, we all, and that, that was the second house too. Cause we moved, all moved in. So it was like eight people and then a dog.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
It was crazy. And then at the time, like Iz was also a co-producer with Chesney on the American Beatbox Championships.
I see.
And so all of us were just, it was just this crazy mix and we're, you know, and it was really stressful.
I see.
And so to, and then also beatboxing and training at the same time.
Right, yeah, trying to like improve your craft every day.
Yeah. Crazy. So, you know, when you see us and like we're hanging out and, you know, we're just kind of bullshitting or whatever, just having, it's, you know, like we've just gone through so much of life together at this point that it's like, all right, we've made it this far. Why not see how far we can take it?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So it, yeah, it's, it hasn't gotten easier, I don't think.
Right.
But in terms of, like that we have new challenges, as the beatbox house, cause we're learning how to like, we're starting to make a little bit of money and then now we're, how do we structure this business? What's fair for everybody as a part of it? How do we divide the labor?
Right. Yeah. Five people is a lot.
Yeah.
Think about it as like a team
from that perspective. And so understanding everybody's strengths and then how they can contribute to it. And then, you know, cause now we're doubling as artists and then also the business people, like business partners.
Have you guys thought about getting like a manager?
Yeah. But I think, what's interesting is that I feel like the universe is saying like, once you guys are able to do it like on your own, I'll send you the help.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you don't have your ducks in a row and somebody approaches you like with the help, because that happened to us already.
Right.
We've had a couple of, I'll never forget this because Kayla was still in the group at the time too. We went and we met with this investor.
Okay.
In Manhattan, basically this bigwig entrepreneur guy. And he was about to put a couple hundred thousand dollars into the project.
Right, right.
But basically, he heard our business plan, which wasn't a real business plan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're like, we just want a tour and like beatbox and have fun.
Yeah.
And basically, he gave, he was like, look, if I were to back you guys up on this, I don't think you'd be ready for, in terms of, you know,
the amount he was willing to give you.
Yeah, and then stage. What that would entail.
Right.
You know, and he didn't want to lose any money, and that makes sense, right? But we didn't know that at the time. I don't know. I just was like, let's take this meeting and let's all meet this guy. And it was great because what it taught me in that moment was like, okay, you still have to plan.
Yeah.
You know, and you still have to understand your big picture vision for what you want to, pursue.
Yeah.
You know, and like, how are you going to service people with the thing that you're doing? And I think that's the most important part. Because like, a lot of it is like, look at us. Look at me. I'm so cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We beatbox. We're the best. But like, to I think to grow is to say, okay, I have these skills. Now, like, how can I make things better by using those things that I put my time into?
Right.
You know? And I think that's so important. And that's what I mean by like the game itself being like,
yeah,
different. Cause now we're kind of approaching, you know, we've gotten to put together full productions now and like do lights and like,
mm-hmm. yeah, like go across the world, across shows, yeah,
do shows and stuff. And like, we're super experienced. We have like so much stuff that we could do both mm-hmm. like solo and then like,
right.
Yeah. As a group. And then like, you know, they're tag teams in the group too. Yep. So we have so much music.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, okay, how do you take all of this and boil it down to its essence and then communicate it mm-hmm. within like a 60-minute thing that people can come watch?
The structure, yeah.
So perfect thing, because I was going to talk about the reels because of that.
Yeah, yes.
You know, we live in an age where that's how people are consuming mm-hmm. music yeah. and content. And the thing is, it's just annoying when people come and watch, they're like, wow, like, this is so great. How come I didn't know beatboxing existed like this?
Right.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how you guys like put those reels together? Yeah. Cause they're like cover songs and they're like mm-hmm. really accurate. Yeah. So do you want to talk about how you break it down and stuff?
So Gene does a lot of the arranging.
Yep.
We'll just basically listen to the parts and mm-hmm. then track each one individually.
Yep.
And then, we'll come in and then we'll put our part in there,
mm-hmm,
you know, mm-hmm. And then we work as a group to like arrange who's going to do what.
Right. And that's where like figuring out strengths and weaknesses, yes, probably who can, exactly. That's a really clear example of like, okay, who's best fit for the parts.
Yeah.
In those.
And it's cool. Cause like when that's happening and I hear like, you're hearing every, like just getting to work with Gene and Neil and Kenny.
Yeah.
And, like, mm-hmm. I mean, just seeing what they're able to bring like musically and also vibe ways to just the recordings. It's like, wow, I just want to get better at the quality of my sound, just like the accuracy mm-hmm. of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we all have in common. We want to continue that growth.
Yeah.
Like, what would it look like to just get a little better at this? Cause when I hear Neil and he's all the control he has with the lip rolls mm-hmm. and then Gene's pitch and then Amit's timbre of his voice. And then mm-hmm. Kenny's got a crazy range and his quality of sound is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously he's throat flute.
Yeah. I've never heard anyone do a fire truck sound as good as Kenny.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. It's impossible. No one will ever do it as good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So everyone puts in their part. And then we'll like basically do the video and then overdub it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it along to the track that we made. And then, you know, we'll put it in. We'll just do some EQing and then we'll upload the thing, you know?
Solid.
So we've been doing that for a couple months now.
Right.
And I think just on Thursdays at 12 p.m., that's when we're going to post. Mm-hmm. And we've been just doing it since like, I don't know, like 4 months ago or something.
Right.
And I think we doubled in followers in the past.
Yeah,
I was talking to Amit at Bush this year, and he was saying that you guys were getting likes from like Shaq and like some big celebrities.
Yeah. Everybody. So it's cool because the shares and the likes were from a lot of the time the producer who.
Exactly. Was, so
like Carmack and mm-hmm. Troy Boy.
Yeah, that's Peekaboo. Crazy.
Yeah, Peekaboo, Steve Aoki.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yeah, Flodan was the first one when we did mm-hmm. Rumble. It was like, whoa, this, you know, and then. And so that was the very first video, that Rumble video
mm-hmm.
With Skrillex. We did it, I think, right when we get back from the Philippines.
Okay.
You know.
Wow.
And Gene was very like keen on like let's get
the ball rolling.
Yeah, let's get the ball rolling, and then, you know, and just really haven't stopped.
What opportunities have like come up from the reels, or if any?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of commissions that are starting to come in, like mm-hmm. from some labels that are just like we have this song, like drum and bass,
nice,
yeah, which is really cool. So mm-hmm. it's like, well, you know, same process, it's nothing mm-hmm. different, it's just this time we're just getting paid a little bit
more, exactly,
that's fire,
know, which is nice
mm-hmm.
you know. And like now we're, you know, there are a couple people who have seen our videos, like whether it's like an agent or something mm-hmm. and we're taking a couple meetings now just to understand you know, like maybe there's some people who could really help us out.
Yeah, you know.
So, but it's cool because it's we're not putting any money into like the ads or like to boost the posts or whatever.
Right. It's all just like base. What into the algorithm kind of sends to people.
Yeah, and that's cool. I think the what we're finding is just it's cool that people can see our mouths. That you can follow the parts.
Yep.
Because of that. And that it's like really high quality, which is why we do.
And people will rewatch it like 5 or 6 times just to hear all the different parts that you're
doing. Super rewatchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that being said, you know, we have like 3-4 months of that. And some of the comments were like, oh, this is fake. There's no way you guys
Of course.
So we recently did an artistic residency. Basically, you know, we have an organization that pays for us to go somewhere and like write music.
Okay.
Which we did. That's fire.
And we put together a 20-minute EDM set of all the like reels back to back.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And we're going to be releasing, I think, at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's going to be out on Spotify with the hope that like, okay, the labels and like festivals will see this. And
it's like a really good showcase.
Yeah.
Or like a mix that you guys can lay out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
And it's like a back to back to back, just like a DJ set.
Yeah.
You know? So, cause that's 20 minutes. And once that comes out, you know, we'll send it out to a bunch of labels and, festivals.
Right.
Like, hey,
right.
We're pretty much ready. Mm-hmm. And between this time and then like next summer, we want to extend it to 60 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then have lights, visuals.
Yeah, whole production.
Whole production, exactly. Mm-hmm. All the blocking on stage, everybody knows where to stand.
That's
everybody has solos, and then we have duos. It'll just be like everything really, really tight and, and precise. Because the big goal is to like not only just do festivals, but do our own like real, legitimate tour. Like a tour.
Yes.
You know, like
the Beatbox House tour.
Yeah. If we can, you know, ideally it would be like, it would be so super sick to have like Hershey with us and then Honeycomb, you know, so, and just do a straight, you know, cause I think we've all been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And like the kind of music also makes sense to all do. And we're kind of in the same place of growth as artists. And, you know, it's cool to like, do stuff with your friends.
Yeah.
So cool.
You know? So yeah, I mean, that's if, you know, and Kenny went on tour with AJR, like last year, and getting to see their show was like hugely inspiring. Cause it was okay. And then they came out to a couple of our Beatbox House shows out in the Hamptons, which is really cool.
Nice. That's fire.
Yeah. And then we're just seeing their show, and watching Kenny in it, you know, and then also seeing who their opener was, I looked at Gina like, bro, we could do this, bro. we're already ready right now. Mm-hmm. We just got to get...
Is this the origin of Spider Horse?
No. This is not the origin of Spider Horse. This is the origin of like this arc of the story.
I see. This latest arc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Spider Horse, you know, it's... If Gene was here, he'd tell you. Like, I had a string of tag team partners.
I see.
And then for whatever reason, I like broke up with them.
Right. Wasn't working out.
Yeah, it wasn't working out. Or like, I just wasn't happy with how fast we were growing. And
right.
I love you, Amit and Johnny, very much. You guys, I still love. And we still crush it.
Yeah.
When we, but Gene and I think we had very similar musical backgrounds.
Yeah, you guys really mesh really well in terms of your styles.
Yes, our styles work really well together. And then also, just... the way Gene's brain works is very, like, it's very similar to how my brain works.
Yeah.
And so...
Even the creative process.
Yeah.
You guys, like, flow a lot.
Yes, 100%. And just being able to be with sometimes we don't even have to talk. I'm like, we gotta... And then, and
Filling in each other's sentences.
Well, sometimes we don't even have sentences.
When you guys were on stage at Bush, you weren't even looking at each other. You were just going back and forth off of each other while you were on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, and just being able to do that and just create things with somebody, I think, you know, like, that's
That's like what it's about.
Yeah, it's the best feeling in the whole world just to have that. Because really, it's like we did our show in Japan, like our headline show.
Yeah.
And we did 90 minutes, you know, and then we had two openers. Like 1,000 people were there.
That's crazy. Yeah,
so by the end of it, people were jumping in. And then just elated after the whole thing. And it was like, damn. And then we had visuals, lights, again, another full show that's already, you know, a whole thing. And it's great in that, like, when I work with Gene, I feel like there are, like, no limits. We could do, we could really just express whatever we want and we'll figure out how to do it.
Yeah, bring that to life.
Yeah. So to me, that's, like, the most fulfilling thing in the entire world. Because, like, if you could do that with people that you like and then you don't have to compromise...
Right.
You can just, any idea that comes, that's how we started doing all the acapella stuff.
I see.
Because after we won world champs, I was like, okay, I thought it'd feel better.
But, of course.
But yeah, and then I was like, what are we going to do now? So I was like, dude, see, you know that acapella thing, the open, let's just do it. Let's see what happens. How badass would it be if we go in there, it's a bunch of beatboxers and we... You know, and then we did all the way to the end, all the way Carnegie Hall. I'll remember, and I was so nervous. You know, everybody was there. My family, Gene's family, and then they announced Spider Wars. And then I watched their, you know, my family freak out, and then you know, my now father-in-law, and then my mother. My mom just writing on Facebook, "This was the best day of my life." just like, you know,
that's great.
It's crazy too, because we won $25,000.
That's crazy, for just
Spider-Man. Two of us. Ooh,
that's damn.
Okay, so when that was just like, okay,
especially for beatboxing too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and that was the year that I also got fired from my teaching job.
Wow.
You know,
perfect.
So those
things are meant to happen.
Yeah.
Things are meant to happen.
It's crazy because that was also I was trying to hold on. I was like, I can do everything. I can make this. I can make it happen.
Right.
But really. Like, something had to give
at
some point, you know. And that was my... It's funny, because we were practicing for that competition. I got the phone call, and Gene was there, and he was just laughing afterwards. Chris got fired today.
Of course.
Chris got fired. And we're, like, street performing. I was crying. I was like, okay. But it all worked out. And now, you know, it's cool to know that I have a degree. I can go back to teaching at any time.
Yeah.
And it was actually my boss, my one of my administrators who told me. He was like, she's like, this is you. Mm-hmm. It's like, you are one of the best beatboxers in the world and you're teaching at our school.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we love that you're doing that.
Is that why you got fired?
It was one of the reasons, yeah. Because I was performing too much.
Wow. Oh. So you're having to take time off.
Yeah, I was having to take a lot of time off.
Right.
And then I would also just not show up to work sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Well, when you got 20 people in your apartment, it makes it a little difficult.
It was hard. Let me tell you.
Stressful.
It was a little hard. And I think at that time I was also really depressed. Because I was looking for purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and maybe trying to find purpose in everything, and you can't do everything.
Right.
You just, like, as a human, we cannot physically do everything, even if we want to. If our mind thinks we can.
Yeah.
So that can really, like, bring you down when you're not succeeding like you want to, and all those things.
Yes, exactly that. And I think that was a huge learning curve for me, because I think at some point I had to admit that I couldn't do it all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it's like, I want to look like I'm Superman to my parents, and I want to have all, you know, get married and show that I'm ready to go. But like, that's...
It's too much to ask of yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want it. It's just, you know, even now to this day, like I did a lot of that for like a lot of validation and external, just to like feel that I was okay in myself.
Right, right.
You know, I would go to the ends of the earth just to prove that I had value as a human.
I see. Yeah.
You know, and so, but I wouldn't let anybody in to like see that I was struggling or that I needed help or so, and that spilled over into everything, whether it was like beatbox house stuff or my relationships, or you know, even like professional relationships. Yeah. I always felt like I had to put on a front and then never would connect with people.
Right.
But that whole arc of just getting fired and now doing, you know, Gene, I think, is responsible for that whole thing, because he'd be like, dude, just don't go to work. I was like, dude, I gotta go to work. He's like, nah, man. Okay. And then I'd walk out of my room at like 11 a.m. and then he'd be there. He's like, you didn't go to work. I was like, I didn't go to work. Fuck. Damn it. Let's beatbox.
Yep. There you are.
Yeah. So how did Spider Horse come to be?
Just
Gene doing that day after day after day after day.
Yeah, no, really. It's, yeah, we just have a similar work ethic and ability to work on things, because we both come from, I think, really good music education. Like, we had a lot of good teachers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And directors who, they're similar enough with their backgrounds that we knew how to practice.
Yeah.
And learn. Just.
That's like the biggest tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can teach yourself, you'll never stop learning.
Exactly. Just the ability to go through things, even the really boring stuff, and nail it, and just and just like, okay, oh god, this is really hard, and we're gonna we're gonna figure it out, and then we're gonna get to the end of the thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So just having another person that's also a beatboxer who's willing to do that work, that's all it is.
So
it's super simple.
Yeah.
And you apply it to every single thing that you do, whether it's like, oh, like any of the music videos we had, we shot them ourselves. Shout out to Kaz. Kaz was also there. But like, we had, you know,
The directive like energy that went into that. You also, like, in your music, in your visuals, and all of it.
Yeah, it all. Exactly. And we're very particular because we want to communicate things.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
and we have our different, like, if when we did our Grateful video, like, I did a lot of the heartfelt emotional content, and then Gene did a lot of the drawing. And like all the neon stuff, and that was Adobe. We stayed up 2 days straight just like editing together. I don't know how to use Premiere like that, but I learned how to cut and all this. I had a bad cut. I remember sharing the first cut of that, and then Kaz was like, that's really bad. I was like, no, I worked like the whole night on this. And I was like, well, you're gonna have to do it again. I was like, fuck.
Okay.
You know, but it paid off, because you know, even though, you know, it's like 20,000 views, but I don't care, because it's like, I love that we made that.
Yeah, you put the work in, and you're proud of that.
Yeah, and it's cool, you know, when people have watched and they're like, whoa, like, this is super, like, this one video person, they're like, wow.
You communicated that vision, how you wanted to in that.
And that's so
fulfilled
the,
you.
Yes, and that's the whole point of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
That's so true.
And, yeah, just when it comes to, you know, what I'm doing with Gene or like the house, it all comes back to that. I think at the end of the day, it's like, who are you and how can you communicate that such that it can remind other people that they're able to do the same?
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because it's, I think at the end of the day, what everybody wants, like more than they want to connect with the truth in another person.
Yeah.
And they want to see people be that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. They don't want to see a front or a face that you're putting on.
Not at all.
And people aren't stupid. You know when somebody's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because in a lot of beatbox battles, that's why they get boring. Because everybody is playing into a formula. If you know, really, if you think about to the people who win, the thing that they have in common is that they're themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You could grind for like a whole year, make up a set of routines, and come in like last.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
You can grind on it because the real work, I mean, because that work is just as important.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But
I think understanding who you are and what you want to say with those routines is the best thing that you can do.
Yeah, because you can have crazy bass and gnarly sounds, but if you can't put them together in a pleasing way that'll leave.
And it's a performance.
Yeah.
Like people are seeing you. They're feeling your energy on that stage as well. And so that's something. Because I feel like maybe it's a little different with like virtual battles or seeing somebody's like BBU round or something. I'm like, it's so produced. It's so mixed that it's like, it's a production. It's like a movie almost.
Yeah, in
a sense. But a live performance with a live mic that you are holding and making the sounds into, it's a whole different environment.
Yeah. Because people want to feel like they're with you.
Yeah.
So if you put something, whether it's like, oh, I have to sound this way so that they'll think it's good.
Right.
Even that, you've now created a...
Yeah.
There's a barrier now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so true.
You know, so...
You put a bunch of effects on your voice. Well, my voice doesn't sound like that.
Yeah.
I could never sound like that or something like that.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then... Now you've created all of the... Like this huge like gap between...
Right.
And then you're going to start talking to yourself. Like, I'm not good enough. Like, there's no way I'm going to sound like this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I just wish I didn't spend so much time worrying about that.
I see.
Because I think it's also an important thing to go through. Because I think everybody has some sort of anxiety or something around like wanting to... I want people to like my stuff. You know, I want everyone to see that I'm good, that I'm able to like... be good enough as a performer, beatboxer, whatever, right? But I think knowing that it's totally okay to be like not perfect and just your own unique version of yourself and communicating that is the... It's worth all of the worry and then... conquering it, if that makes sense.
100%. You know? I feel like I really needed to hear that as well, because I can relate that so much even just in like my personal music production. I hold on to so many projects because I need to get this one section perfect and absolutely right, and then I haven't released a song in a year and a half.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's more about just the fact of communication, even if you'll always hear something that you wish you could have gotten a little bit better than you hear yourself. But the fact that you at least put that out there as something for people to hear, for people to connect with, is something that is what it's about.
Yeah.
You're saying.
That's exactly it.
And like, I think when you try to hold on to something and perfect it and say, I'm not going to put something out until I get this like exactly how I want to hear it, you're always growing as a person. Your work should be a reflection of you like growing, even the stuff that you put out there. So it doesn't have to be perfect.
Right. 100%. Yeah. I think it's so important that every day, and this, because I do the same thing.
Yep.
You know, it's like I have hundreds of tracks.
Hundreds.
That are just like, you know, like I really love making things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been obsessed with how it'll be received, which is why I've never put it out.
Yep.
Right? But like that obsession is really just me trying to protect myself from what other people are going to say. Yep. But I think... you know, just all, I think everybody wants to be seen and understood and heard, and like artists, I think especially, like we're just sensitive people.
Yeah.
And I think just being able to, this is like my hope for the beatbox scene too, that we could just be,
everyone listen up,
like just kinder to each other, because we're all learning.
Right.
You know, and like a minute 30 round should not determine your worth as a human being.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, like how your Instagram bio says you're the top whatever in the country. Like,
right. It shouldn't be about adding another number, you know, like 2X to 3X.
Rich in Monopoly.
Yeah.
What's it actually get you?
Right. And I think it's important to highlight those big wins. I think that is important, or those things as you grow in your career.
Right.
Because you gain the confidence to know that you can do that. But it also doesn't mean you're any less valuable as a person. And I think that's such an important distinction that we have to make, because I know for a fact with beatboxing, there are a lot of people, specifically like young men, people identify as men.
Yep.
Who are, the reason they go to beatboxing is because they don't have another outlet, right? So they're, I want to express all this rage and anger and like find other people, like find my tribe of people where I belong. Yeah. And then they get to a place where they're basically just comparing themselves to other people. And when they don't do well, oh, here's another example of me sucking.
Yeah.
I might as well be a piece of shit or something. Then they start, you know, either taking it on themselves or other people.
Right.
And, but that's like a human thing. And that's what happens in growth. And I think as you're growing, like, the way we can be better is to just like, guys, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, even if you lose a battle, it doesn't mean you suck. It just means you need to go practice a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't do it, talk to people who you trust to give you advice to like level up, not just your sounds, but also like your presence and your ability as a, you know, both a beatboxer and as a person, because you want to have both.
Yeah.
The reason, and you know, people, and granted, there's so much good growth that's happening in the scene. There's so many cool sounds and like amazing things that are being made. But what's going to stop the scene from really getting to the next level is our growth as people.
Yeah. You know,
and like, I think it, this is on my generation too. And anybody who's from my generation is watching. Like, we need to just lead by an example of how to be as people as well. How to have constructive conversations and also still practice, put in the work to, for me, it's important to like, maybe in like 30 years, I can say I've mastered something.
Right.
Or even by that time, and hearing people who talk like that, when they get to there, they're like, oh, I know nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, but like, I want to put in the time still.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know how musically we will sound by then. Like, what sounds are going to be available, and what ways have our, has technology and our voice developed to the point of, you know, what can we express at that
point? Right. Yeah. You know?
And that's a cool question that's going to keep me busy personally for a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why people get into beatboxing, because they hear something, they're like, oh my God, I know you can do that, right?
Right, yeah.
But it's, in all of that, there's nothing about saying that you're just better than somebody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the competitive aspect of it, as important as it is, it'll box you in it forever if you just focus on that.
Yeah.
Because the game ends at some point.
Yeah,
the game finishes at GBB or World Beatbox Championships.
Right. Yeah.
And where are you gonna go? You're gonna do it again? You want to do it 7 times, 8 times?
Right.
You could do that. You know, if that's part of your process, and I think for some people that might be important.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much life.
Yeah.
And so many really successful beatboxers out there who are actually doing it.
Look at
Kayla, Mark, Verbal Ace.
The group that went on America's Got Talent, I'm not too sure of their name, but they went on... Are you familiar?
Are you talking about Barry Wong?
I might be. They were like a... they're a 5-man group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, 4 now.
Okay.
Yeah. Because MB14 is now a movie star.
Wait, is that, what?
Yeah.
Damn, okay.
Over in France, yeah.
That's crazy. Good for him.
Yeah, movie star, also, you know, voice, AGT, you know.
Looping, singing, big screen.
Yes,
nothing
exactly.
You can't do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's like, wow. Like, there's so much amazing stuff that people are doing. And, you know, everybody over in Japan and also in Korea.
Right. The international, like, aspect. It's worldwide. It's not just an American scene. It's not just a European scene. It's worldwide.
And I think that's, we're living in a time where all those barriers of like country and all that stuff are kind of, they're falling away because we can communicate with each other now.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so you see stuff that's happened, you know, just hearing Wing or hearing the stuff that like Sarukani's doing over there, and then Rofu and like
So-So.
Just how it's growing over there. That inspires everybody over here and inspires the Europeans. And like, we do, you know, we're just like, now everybody's sharing everything. Which I think is really, really exciting. And
it's like a hope of constructive growth with all of that, not tearing each other down.
Yeah.
It should be in an area where there's so much information available, be, you know, we should all feel safe and free to talk with each other and openly communicate and get tips and get help.
Yeah.
Build each other up.
Because that's how in the beatbox house we got better faster.
Right. Yeah.
By sharing, not by hoarding.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I watch it. I'm watching it still. Mm-hmm. You know, just. And you know who's also really amazing at this? The French.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If you look at their generations of beatboxers, there's like Fire Bras, and then you have Kim. Like, these are like the OG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, before then, you had, let's not forget about Eclipse, you know.
Okay. Yeah. You know,
it's just like, what? And yeah. What? Just like Eclipse, Saiyan Super Crew, mm-hmm. and then just, you have so many beatboxers that come from a community, and what they do in France is they keep that mentorship and that lineage very strong, and mm-hmm. they make sure they take care of each other.
That's
which is,
great.
Which is wow. why their skill is like
right, you know, right,
the yeah. best. Really,
it, I was talking to Collapse at American Champs, and he was saying that in France, it's a lot different than the U.S. because we're more like about our style, whereas in France it's about like the French, technicality yeah. and like hitting perfect everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like a, but that's exactly, they have a national identity yeah, when it comes exactly. to like yeah. a style of beatboxing, mm-hmm. right?
Not many they countries can say that.
Yeah, and it's cool when you go overseas, you can see their culture reflected in their beatboxing. Like if you look mm-hmm. at American beatboxing, it's because we're individuals here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
it's kind of a melting pot of
yeah.
so much different stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, you can look at everybody, take Vocoda.
Yeah.
You know, and then Gene. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Both freaking, you know, great.
Amazing.
Yeah. But like,
wildly different
opposite
styles.
Opposite ends of yeah. the spectrum.
It's like, what do you, how do you judge that?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like a, in a musical way. Now, if yeah. you're, mm-hmm. you know, in a battle, that's what I mean too. In a battle, you're going in with the context of being scrutinized for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So you're mm-hmm. basically going to say, okay, did I technically execute my ideas better than this other person?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And part of that is the performance, and the whole paradox of the whole thing is like, if you can be the person who communicates your ideas the best, you will win the battle.
Yep.
I see.
Be yourself, and tell your. What you have to tell, your message.
On that note, do you want to go to the subscribers only section?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Let's do it.
Well, thanks for checking out the video version of Highly Intelligent. Is there anything you'd like to plug before we get out of here?
Check out that. When is this going to come out? Okay, make sure you check out that on Beatbox House on Spotify, Spider Horse on Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at the Beatbox House, and
there's a good chance that mix will be out by the time this is posted.
Oh yeah,
so we'll
yeah.
have like a direct link to that.
That's hell out
on the Spotify.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go. What else? Gene and I's headline show is for sale on our website somewhere.
I'll link that too.
Link that. It's mm-hmm. crazy. It's the best thing we've ever done. It's just freaking.
Y'all ain't ready.
Yeah, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Beatbox House. All of our handles are on there. Kenny, mm-hmm. Gene, Amit, Neil, aka Napalm, me.
And there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Beatbox is for everyone.
Yeah. Definitely.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for mm-hmm. watching Highly Intelligent. Thanks for coming on the show. And I'll see you guys later.